This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Now, it's not been an easy year for businesses. Lockdowns under the MCOs, now the EMCO, they've only emphasized the need for SMEs to go digital. But if you're in the F&B sector, going digital has its own set of challenges. F&B operators need to go to multiple service providers to create a holistic start-to-end F&B solution for their businesses. And in this pandemic, no one really has the time to shop around for these solutions. You need to go digital and you need to get it done quick. And this is why Eatcosys was created. Understanding the gap in the market, the F&B tech solution provider wants to create an ecosystem that supports F&B businesses throughout their entire business lifecycle, with a wide range of digital solutions, which includes, amongst other things, setting up a web page on a food discovery marketplace, food delivery solutions that can be activated almost immediately, and even consultation on financing and fundraising. And its co-founder and CEO, Vincent Kok, is with us today to talk to us about the impact they're making in the F&B segment and the company's aggressive plans for a world after COVID-19. Vincent, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Audrey.
So I want to start with how you found yourself in the F&B sector, or at least servicing F&B tech. You know, your background is in digital media, right?
Exactly. So it was in all areas other than F&B. But I've always had a passion for F&B. So I think a friend of mine jokingly said many years ago that I should get into the F&B because I love food, right? So here I am, by accident.
Okay, well, I guess it's a good accident then, considering the aggressive growth that Eatcosys has had. Now, what sparked the idea to create Eatcosys?
Well, it originally began with Vimo back in 2014, where we were onboarding restaurants and cafes for the purpose of using these venues as locations for birthday parties or functions, right? So, along the way, what we discovered was that there were a lot of other gaps within the F&B industry. My co-founder, Tom, is an F&B entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. So he gave me a lot of insights as to the pains and the challenges that F&B entrepreneurs would go through. So because of that, we put together Eatcosys to address those pain points that not only he as an F&B entrepreneur faces, but many others as well, especially if they are independents.
Now, how would you describe Eatcosys to a potential client, you know, or to an F&B operator, how Eatcosys can help their business? Maybe you can give us your sales pitch.
I thought you did a brilliant job of describing what Eatcosys is earlier. I'm actually going to borrow points from that.
Right? Go ahead.
But at the core of it, what we are is a support system for the F&B and retail market. Right, so we're here to assist them from startup to scale up, whether in providing them a simple online order form to the point that they are ready to expand to 3-4 outlets, and then now they need 2 million, or even 3 million ringgit funding. That's where we are to assist them. Right, everything from start to that level.
So, would you call yourself a one-stop shop for, say, digitizing or digitalizing the F&B sector?
Sometimes one-stop shop sounds like a bad word, but in this case, I think we set up with that agenda in mind because many of our merchants are independents and they don't, you rightly put it, they don't have time to go and shop around for solutions. Not many of them have the extensive network to say, hey, can you help me with this, with that, right? So we aim to bring all those solutions into one one umbrella so that it's all integrated.
Right. Now, I understand that Eatcosys wants to support F&B businesses, you know, through their life cycle, like you mentioned earlier, from startup to scale up. Can you talk to us about some of the solutions that will carry them from startup to scale up?
Yeah. So let me take you from the very beginning, right? So the easiest startup requirement would be you now have a F&B outlet, right? You could be operating in a food court, right? And all you need is to be found, right? Mm. So that's where, that's the beginning point. The easiest way to get on board with us is through our Food Advisor listing, where we only charge you 200 ringgit a year mm-hmm. to be listed on any of the 1,000 plus best off listings that we have optimized for Google search. So let's say, for example, if you're operating in Johor Bahru and you sell nasi lemak, you onboard yourself into that list, best nasi lemak in JB, and you will be one of the many vendors that will be found there. Right? What you do then is to get your friends and your fans to vote you up. Right? And as you get voted up, your ranking goes up as well.
Hmm.
And that's as easy as it gets. Right?
So that's discoverability and, yeah. and visibility. What's right. next?
What's next is, let's say, for example, you now need to provide people with online ordering as well. And you currently don't have access to any of the online ordering marketplaces. Right. So one of the easiest things to do is to put up an online order form. And we've done that for many of our merchants. Right. So there are two ways you can do it, where you just put up the online order form, you manage it yourself. So we take only the transaction fees of for processing the payment gateway charges. That's it. The next step is, let's say, for example, your business has advanced, right? So you're doing 30, 40, 50 orders a day, and you find that you have no time to handle the delivery. Then we assist you in managing that delivery as well. So we have had merchants graduate from just a listing to what we call Package B, where we provide them a form, to Package C, where they require us to provide them some managed services as well.
Okay, so what will something like this cost merchants, you know, from Package A, Package B to Package C? Or maybe just give us the range from Package A to C.
So it starts with 200 ringgit for that simple listing. Package C, which is with the managed services, is still 200 ringgit plus 15% on successful transactions.
So this is a subscription-based model, right?
It is.
Annually?
Annually, yes.
Right.
So that's one way we address the market. But there are also other merchants who come to us and say, hey, I've just started out a cafe. Imagine this. Actually, at this time, there are still new cafes and new restaurants starting out, right? Brand new ones, right? And I really applaud these entrepreneurs, right, to take this step of faith. But what they need now is a point of sale solution, right? So they could come in to us and say, hey, we need a POS. And then we provide them with a POS. In this case, we charge them 1,200 ringgit a year, right? So that's a subscription for the POS. But on top of that, part of the POS is they get 600 ringgit credits in which they can use it to purchase supplies like coffee bean, like pastries or kitchen ingredient supplies. Or they could buy, which is from our procurement platform, bundle up. And then they may need a card terminal, which comes through yet another of the services that we provide as well. Or they say, okay, I need a listing in Food Advisor as well, right? So they can use that 600 ringgit credit to offset against the listing of their services on Food Advisor. And of course, then we have My Cooking Story as well, which sells kitchenware and cookware. And for them, if they need the kitchenware and cookware, then they can use that 600 ringgit credit as well to purchase that. But that's not the end of it, actually. What we also have is a fintech arm, right? So where the fintech arm comes in is that it provides them with working capital financing. So the F&B and retail market is typically underserved, or is in some cases even unserved by financial institutions, because the risk is seen as high risk, right? And there's no collateral that they can charge against. But what we do is, because we understand F&B and because we have the transactional data through the POS, right, we're able to give them very quick access to financing within 6 months, right? So not 3 years, not 12 months, but within 6 months, because we actually have live data and we can assess the credit risk very, very quickly, whether they are a good candidate for financing or not.
Right. So, you know, that was actually my next question, you know, the fact that you guys provide consultation on financing and fundraising. And this is through, you know, various methods, P2P, ECF, you know, other SME financing channels. What has the response been like to this service, especially during the last quarter, you know, under MCO 3.0?
Well, I think the ECF sector is the one that's most interesting for us. And that's the area that of our business has grown quite a bit, where we assist companies in successfully running an ECF campaign. I think that's one of the areas that we have learned through experience. Both my founder and I, Tom and I, have done, I think, between ourselves and our companies, we have done about five ECF campaigns already.
Right.
Right. And plus the consulting services that we've done with others, I think we've done more than 10 now.
Right. Okay, so that's where the wealth of your experience is best being funneled into. Okay.
Yeah. Again, by accident, right? So it's learning on the job, really.
The best way to learn, if you ask me. We are going to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, we get into Ecosys' competitors within this space, as well as their own ECF campaign. We'll get into the details on that in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. You are listening to Open for Business with Ecosys, BFM 89.9.
Burger, fries, Milo, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me right now, I have co-founder and CEO of Ecosys, Vincent Kok, and we are discussing their one-stop shop for FMB digitalization needs. Now, having started just last year, this company has seen such rapid growth. You know, some can even call it hypergrowth. You know, at the time of recording, you serve 5 countries, 20,000 plus retailers across Southeast Asia, and over 10,000 merchants. Would you say this rapid growth has been spurred on partly by the needs of the F&B community during this pandemic?
I think that's very much spurred on by the pandemic, really. The understanding of businesses requiring to go digital as a means of survival has really spurred the mindset change in many of these entrepreneurs that we've met. Right? So while the pandemic is a bad situation, a bad bad thing to go through, it's also spurred many changes within the business community.
And opportunities as well.
And opportunities as well.
So what would you say has been the biggest challenge for you and your founding partners through this hyper-growth phase? In trying to grow Ecosys over the last year, what would you say has been the biggest challenge?
I think it's really in keeping up with the number of contracts that we're winning and the number of deals that's coming in. I think in the last 3 months especially, the pace of growth has accelerated. While we originally worked with either the very small or the very big through our retail marketing solutions, which is the likes of Aeon or even Patronus, and then through our loyalty management solution, we work with the likes of HSBC or Maybank. We have also started acquiring new customers in the SME space, those that are probably operating within the 50 million to 200 million ringgit revenue range. And even in this sector, we find many of our customers undergoing a change in the sense that they now understand that digital transformation doesn't stop at having a website. It actually begins with a digital mindset change in the way they do business. So it transcends beyond having a website, but making full use of digital services to keep their business relevant.
Now, I'm curious as to whom you would consider competitors to Ecosys. You know, who are the competitors within this space?
I think we've tried looking at an exact competitor, Apple for Apple, which is similar to what we're doing. And we've not been able to find any competitor, really. You find that there are companies that specialize or in one vertical. So there will be the giants in food delivery. There will be the giants in what else, right? POSs, right? But they typically are verticals. They do one solution. They do it very well. Nothing wrong with that. But because we are addressing a market that now requires holistic solutions, that's why we look to build an ecosystem. We're looking to build an ecosystem that provides end-to-end solutions. Other than coming up with the idea of setting up your F&B or your retail store, we're there to help you all along the way.
Would you consider that your USP? The holistic approach to digitalizing these businesses?
It is our USP, and also it's our driving force. So I think what's core to all the key founders of the group is that we all want to serve the underserved and the unserved, primarily because we have gone through it ourselves, right? That journey from Vimo, from starting Vimo in 2014 till now, and with Tam with his F&B outlets, it was all built on a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, right? Mm. bootstrapping ourselves initially, right? So having gone through that process, I think what we want to do is help these merchants accelerate their growth, right? Not make the mistakes that we made, but provide them a support structure to say, hey, this is how you can grow faster. In fact, you might even discover new ways where you can scale faster than what we did, right? And if that happens, then we have achieved the success that we wanted, because that would be a key KPI for us in seeing others grow and grow quickly.
So within ecosystem, and I'm bringing this up because you just mentioned Vimo. Within ecosystem, you've also acquired several entities like Vimo. You've got Food Advisor, Fidelity Funding as well. Why move to acquire these businesses so quickly? Yeah. You know, were they considered competitors, or was this solely to strengthen your ecosystem solutions?
Okay. While it might look like they have acquired them overnight, it didn't happen overnight. It actually has happened over a few years. In the first place, we have actually been working with some of these partners since as far back as 2015, right? Like Feed My Guest, we already were cross-referencing listings from Feed My Guest to Vimo and Vimo to Feed My Guest. With Boozit, we had already been working with them since 2016, where, as you know, no event is complete without some alcohol to enhance the liveliness of the event.
Lift the spirits, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of this were relationships that we had built up over the years. Even with our loyalty management solution entity, it was already someone we had worked with a couple of years ago, right? So the relationship had been built. And as we went through the pandemic last year, Vimo went through a lot of transformation last year. One of the things that we realized was that had we remained just a pure event venues and services working platform last year, we would have been dead in water. Right? So we were fortunate that we had other lines of business that allowed us to not just stave off the drop in events, but actually grow from there as well. So that really cemented in our minds that we needed to diversify. We needed to provide total solutions to our merchants. So this year, we formalized these relationships and started putting them under ecosystem.
Right. Now, you're no stranger to the industry, even though you say you got here by accident. And I'm sure you've done your research on the market. So what is the percentage of market share that ecosystem is trying to score?
Well, I think it's a huge market, right? So even if you just look at F&B, it's an 80 billion ringgit market. Even with some drop, right? There are other new restaurants and cafes coming back up. It's something that we're not saying that, okay, in 2 years, we won 10% of market share. Right. What's more important for us is that we're able to grow sustainably and profitably, right? So our key guiding principle in running our business has always been profitability, right? So it was always our goal to reach profitability as soon as possible without burning too much cash, right? Mm. So the good news is that even in 2020, we were able to get all our units profitable. Mm. And because of that, then we can now look towards an IPO listing.
Right. So there was talk of Ecosys going for an IPO next year. I guess that is true. Is
it
next year?
It is.
The target?
Well, the target is either early 2023, right? Or if things get sped up very quickly, then hopefully in 2022.
Right. Now, I want to talk about that ECF campaign that you recently launched with Funnel. And this, of course, is to expand Ecosys' reach and range of investors. Now, you mentioned before the break that you have some experience, just some experience in ECF. But why not seek funding through other avenues? You know, like why not reach out to angel investors, for example?
Okay. Well, this comes back to how we started our whole journey back with Vimo back in 2017. When we started, we were not a candidate for VCs. Angels, yes, right? But somehow ECF, again, accidentally fell along the way, presented itself as an as a very good option. So we had Crop Plus, Brian Chung of Crop Plus then, helping us through that process and bringing us to a successful IPO. Successful ECF.
IPO is on the mind.
Successful ECF at that time, right?
Right.
I think we were also very fortunate to have Cradle come in as a co-investment partner. So because of that experience with ECF and that good experience that we had with our ECF investors, we felt that we wanted to continue on this ECF path. We subsequently did another round in 2020 and now on to Ecosys ECF, right? One of the things was that we also wanted to reward many of the investors that come along with us along the way. So if they wanted to top up, they could. That's an opportunity. Otherwise, we would be closed off only to high net worth individuals, right? Nothing wrong with that, but I think we also wanted to make it to thank those investors who had come in with us before and give them an opportunity to get into our pre-IPO ECF race.
Now, how will the funds be allocated? And are you looking to carry out any significant activities with that cash injection?
Two areas that we'll be using it primarily, right? In terms of looking for additional companies, F&B and retail tech startups that would fit into our ecosystem, not to acquire, but to seed, right? So we would use some of these funds for our seed stage investments. Why is that? Because we would want to accelerate these companies, their growth, at the same time, accelerate the technologies that we have within the group as well. Right, and then we can offer even more holistic solutions to our merchants. Right, so one of the challenges in for most startups is that when they start up, other than technology being the big spend, and of course personnel being the big spend, is market access. Right, so you typically have to spend a lot to buy your customers. With the companies that we invest in, we seek to actually help build them up by giving them access into the marketplace that we already have, right? So we have 10,000 plus merchants that would actually help accelerate their market penetration at reasonable expenditures.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's one area. Yeah. The other area is that we'll be using it for also expanding our working capital financing, which would help towards assisting many of these small merchants on our platform.
Right. Now, it's about time for me to let you off the hook, Vincent. But before I let you go, what's on the projection board for Ecosys? I mean, we've already spoken about the IPO, possibly end of next year, if not early 2023. That's the target. But what's the next milestone that you're gunning for? You know, what's the plan for the future? And how are you strategizing to get there?
Well, usually, it's always about a regional story. For us, I think it's about making sure that we become the go-to support system for the F&B and retail industry. So I think that would be the key milestone in our mind, right? Mm. How do we help others succeed? I think that was a quote actually that Bill Gates made many, many years ago with regard to a platform business. Platform business are successful, are only successful when they make their ecosystem, I'm paraphrasing, right? Mm. When they make their ecosystem richer than the platform itself, right? So when businesses can build on top of the platform and start seeing that platform as a means of enabling that growth, then that platform will thrive, right? And that's our key milestone that we look for. We want to be that platform in the F&B and retail marketplace.
Right. Vincent, for our listeners tuning in right now, maybe even possibly merchants who may be interested in looking up Ecosys, is there a website that they can go to?
Yes, www.ecosys.com.
Right. Thank you once again, Vincent, and all the best for that IPO next year. Looking to hear from you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Vincent Kok, co-founder and CEO of Ecosys. Now, if you missed out on any part of this conversation, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Vincent from Ecosys, thank you for listening. More Open for Business coming up same time tomorrow on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.